Welcome to Mosaic Wealth Partners in 8 Minutes or Less. I'm your host, Eric Jaffe. Today, I'm going to talk about inflation and the development of the economic situation that led the Fed to raise interest rates aggressively over the last year and a half. If we take a look back at the last few years, we can see a number of factors coming together to create the elevated inflation we've seen. Entering the pandemic, we had a relatively low interest rate environment, and after the pandemic began, the Fed lowered interest rates further. Now, we've had particularly low interest rates on and off since the Great Recession, and this alone has not led to high inflation. But it certainly helped create the environment in which inflation could rear its head. Within this low interest rate environment, we had the first factor I want to mention, and that is when the pandemic hit, we very quickly developed a supply-demand imbalance. So due to shutdowns and people being out sick, unable to work, supplies of goods and services became depleted and supply chains became backed up. Demand for these goods and services, however, did not slow. So think, for example, the increased demand for housing, more living space, the desire to renovate, expand, improve homes, etc. This shot the price of goods and services up quickly. In fact, I'm sure we all heard the term supply chain issues frequently as an excuse for delays in getting items and or to justify the higher costs being charged for those items. So add to this factor two that Russia invaded Ukraine roughly around this same time frame. This also disrupted supply chains and created further shortages and delays. Now, much of these shortages and delays related to energy, since Russia is a major exporter of oil, and food, since the Ukraine is a major exporter of grain. But this all exacerbated the supply chain issues and caused prices and in turn inflation to rise even higher. So add to this, we have the third factor, which is what some have referred to as the Great Resignation. This was significant for two reasons. One, this added to delays in supply chain issues in the sense that companies, firms weren't able to remain fully staffed. They couldn't produce at their normal rate. But this sudden shortage of workers led a number of employers to offer higher wages to get qualified employees back on staff. And this second element is possibly the more significant. You can have low interest rates. You can have what at least appeared to be short-term supply-side disruptions. But you often need to have wage increases in order to develop persistent inflation. So if people have more money to spend and demand remains elevated, people will spend that money. And that's what drives the cost of goods and services higher. So when we look at it all, we had a low interest rate environment, which meant that money was cheap to come by. If you wanted to buy a new house or a second house, or if you wanted to renovate your home or buy a new car, you could borrow money at a very low cost in order to do so. We also had these supply chain disruptions making goods and services harder to come by, and we had more people earning higher wages. So there was an ideal combination of elements to drive prices higher, i.e. inflation. So initially, the Fed deemed this inflation to be transitory, meaning they did not believe it would last. And in some respects, this made perfect sense, given that at least some of the supply chain issues seemed likely to resolve themselves as we returned to normal from the pandemic. And given the fact that wages had been relatively stable for a number of years leading up to this point, the increase didn't seem overly significant. But as we all now know, it turned out that inflation was not transitory, but instead has remained persistent. And this is what led the Fed to begin raising interest rates aggressively. And it has pretty much done so for the last year and a half plus. So I want to talk briefly about why the Fed raises rates in response to inflation like this. So I mentioned earlier that one of the elements creating the environment allowing for high inflation was sustained lower interest rates. Like I said before, this allowed people who wanted to purchase goods and services to do so at relatively low cost, and therefore this led to people driving up the prices of things since they could afford to do so. Well, higher interest rates have the opposite effect. When it becomes more expensive to buy something with borrowed funds due to a higher interest rate being charged on that debt, people become less likely to spend as much. And this, in turn, lowers the cost of goods and services and tames inflation. As a practical matter, however, what this means is higher interest rates will, by design, slow the economy. As people purchase fewer goods and services, businesses adapt. So this can include reducing production, purchasing fewer raw materials and supplies, decreasing staffing, etc. So economic activity overall reduces, and more people typically find themselves out of work. This can lead to a downward spiral where some people get more cautious with their spending, others don't have the money to spend because they're out of work, etc. And all of these further this economic slowdown. So this brings us to this talk of what kind of landing the Fed is going to be able to maneuver here. The soft landing everyone is hoping for would entail a slowing of the economy just enough to lower inflation down to the Fed's targeted rate of 2% without pushing the economy into a recession. It really remains to be seen whether this is in fact doable, particularly because it can take 6 to 12 months after a rate hike before that hike is actually felt in the economy. So in some respects, we're only now beginning to see the effects of the Fed's earliest efforts in raising interest rates. So today, the U.S. economy has remained relatively strong and unemployment has not become a significant problem. Corporate profits and productivity remain unexpectedly robust. And this is what's led to optimism that the Fed is going to achieve this soft landing. Given the delayed effect of higher interest rates, though, and the Fed's relatively hawkish tone lately that we should expect higher interest rates for longer, it's really unclear at this point that the ultimate landing is going to be soft. So that's all the time I have for today's episode, but please tune in next time when I'm going to continue this discussion on inflation. We'll talk a little bit about what some of the risks are of higher for longer. I look forward to you joining me then.